Welcome, everyone, to our inaugural podcast of Right Down the Street. My name is Brian Barnett. I'm the mayor of the city of Rochester Hills. I'm thrilled that you've joined us today. We are looking forward to introducing you to some amazing people in our greater community. This podcast called Right Down the Street is designed to really celebrate the passions, the creativity, the individuals that are making a mark on our region and our world, and really get to know some of the people that essentially live and work right down the street. And today we are exceptionally pleased with our first guest, a good friend of mine and someone who certainly is a well-known figure in our community with an incredibly important role, Pastor Chris Brooks of Woodside Bible Church. Welcome to the show today, and thank you for joining us.
Well, Mayor Barnett, it is so good to not only join you on this inaugural podcast, you know, it can only go up from here. But I'm also grateful to be a resident of Rochester Hills. It's such a great community. My wife, myself, and our kids are so thrilled.
Well, Pastor Chris, tell us, first of all, a little bit about yourself for those that don't know you. And then tell us a little bit about Woodside, too, and how you ended up here in our community.
Well, you know what? I love the job that I have being the pastor of Woodside Bible Church. I'll get to that in a moment. I'm married to an exceptional wife, Yodi, and that's my partial opinion. She is phenomenal. The mother of our five kids. We have five kids. Zoe, who's 14, Cameron, who's 10, Judah, who's 7, my big guy, and then two little girls, Sophia, who's 5, and Christiana, who we affectionately call the last of the tribe. She is 15 months and kind of running the house. But yeah, we grew up in Michigan. We are both kids of educators. My dad was a teacher, 27 years at Cass Tech High School in Detroit. My mother-in-law was a teacher as well. Father-in-law was a teacher as well. So we kind of grew up as kids of educators. We met in high school sweethearts. I went on to Michigan State University. We kind of bounced around as a family to various communities throughout Michigan, but ended up here in Rochester Hills when we came on board at Woodside Bible Church. And you know Woodside, Brian, really well. We just have a love for the community, serving community. You know, our motto is that good deeds produce goodwill that opens the door for good news. And we just want to serve our community well. We have churches in 14 communities throughout Metro Detroit area, and our main campus, largest campus, is right off of Rochester Road in Troy.
Well, that's the introduction that probably got you the position. But tell us something, Pastor Chris, that we wouldn't know about you. You know, when you're not knee deep in kids running through the house, what do you most enjoy?
Well, you know what? I'm a passionate Michigan State Spartans fan, which is, you know, cost me a lot of counseling dollars this year. You know, my therapist has gotten many sessions out of me as I've rode the roller coaster of Spartan sports. But yeah, I love the fact that I have gone to Michigan State. I bleed green. But you know what? Because I'm a pastor, I give a little bit of love to those Wolverines as well. And certainly I'm grateful to live right across the street from our Oakland University campus there. And so it's great to be able to enjoy the benefits of living right here in our community.
Now, you are a student of divinity, and you've studied quite a bit. There's a common thought out there that there will be absolutely no Ohio State Buckeyes in heaven. Your thoughts on that?
You know what? God is gracious. He'll let a few of them in, you know? But you know what? We'll have to vet them really well. We'll have to vet them really well.
Agreed. I don't know what our ratings are in Ohio, but I'm sure they're probably even worse now. In all seriousness, you know, obviously you have significant responsibility in the structure of running a church. And I think by even today's definition, I'm curious if you meet the definitions of what a mega church is, if you like that nomenclature or not. But given the fact that you run essentially an organization, As you ran it through this pandemic, I imagine there were some things that you assumed going in. You know, you have a budget, you have clients, parishioners, you have staff. You know, what are some of the things you thought going in, some of the assumptions you made, and how do you run a church, an organization that, you know, a house of worship and something that really hasn't ever been done before? And what are some of the things you learned through the process, and maybe one surprise coming out that was like, wow, I didn't think that would happen, but it was pretty neat that it did.
Yeah, you know, we like to think of it this way. You know, we're just a church. We don't necessarily ascribe to that title mega church, but we do believe we serve a mega God with a mega heart who loves people. And so one thing that's been true about Woodside pre-pandemic and certainly true in the pandemic has been that we believe in radical compassion for people, and we live to serve. So one of the assumptions, like everyone else going into the year last year, we kind of assumed business is normal. You know, we were going to go on short-term missions trips. We were going to serve and mobilize in our community. We do it with our kids. We do it with our adults and family, certainly. And then a year ago, almost to the week, everything changed when the governor said, hey, the first case in Michigan, and now looking back, how many lives have been impacted? I think all of us have been impacted. It's been a personal pandemic in many ways for everyone. But I will say this, that technology probably was the biggest game changer for us when we couldn't connect physically like we wanted to. We still could connect through technology. So we figured out ways to do that. And then one of the things that we decided to do is, man, one day we knew we were going to look back on this season and the question would be asked, who did we serve? So we identified five groups that we wanted to serve. And so many ideas came out of that. I was talking to you and you were sharing about this Takeout Tuesday idea. And I said to our leadership, you know, I think the mayor's on to something. Let's do that. And let's serve local restaurants by ordering carryout. But let's also mobilize those local restaurants to serve our first responders, our police officers, our hospital workers. And so we begin to do that. And it just produced so many great stories of our community. And it just was a reminder to me that we have some of the kindest people. And I really mean that, you know, right around the corner from us. We have people who have great hearts. And some of the best stories came out of some of the most painful and uninvited moments.
Yeah. Well, I have to tell you and appreciate the work of your team, because our city staff here and our first responders are some of the beneficiaries of those Takeout Tuesdays when you brought lunch by for our crew. And it was certainly sort of lonely times, no public here, very few people here. But what a blessing to be able to get a surprise lunch from an organization like Woodside. It was a real pick me up many times throughout the pandemic. So thank you. Is there anything, Pastor Chris, that you would say you're doing differently now that you think will be a part of maybe all churches moving forward? You talked a little bit about technology. You know, is there anything that, you know, that you realized throughout this that you're maybe better able to serve folks, or maybe was a silver lining through a crisis like this?
Yeah, I think that we've all been forced to think in a decentralized way. You know, we're guilty probably just as much as anyone of thinking more centralized. You know, everything around church kind of happened around the building, if you will. But now we kind of think of ourselves as being in 10,000 places all at the same time, as families invite neighbors over for not only Bible studies, but, you know, backyard cookouts and being able to serve in our community together. And so that probably will be a permanent way of how we think of ministry, think of serving going forward. It is not just through our buildings, though we certainly want our building to be a meeting place for the community and a tool to serve our community in whatever way we can. We really want to mobilize and empower families in our church throughout our community. And so, yeah, we kind of feel like we multiplied in our impact by thinking in a decentralized way.
Pastor Chris, when you, for example, for those that might not be familiar with Woodside, you've got, I think you said 14 campuses, is that correct? All across. The farthest one geographically would be?
Probably Algonac.
Okay. And then the rest, I'm pretty much in Southeast Michigan.
Yes, all the way around Southeast of Michigan. We should have had it like a pop quiz, a prize, a giveaway, if folks can tell me where Algonac, Michigan is. But yeah, we're all around in places like Pontiac and Detroit, Royal Oak and Warren. We have a campus in Romeo. We have a campus in White Lake. So most are clustered right around this area within a 20-minute shot. But we go as far as Lapeer and Algonac and now in Dearborn. And we're prayerfully even hoping to reach into Downriver.
Yeah, that's great. Well, in saying that, I mean, the job of a pastor is pretty unique. You have to get up every week among all the things that you do. Certainly, it's not a Sunday only job. It's a 7 day a week. I describe being mayor like being a mom or a dad. And when you're a mayor, probably much like a pastor, it's 24/7. It's when they see you shopping. It's when they see you with your kids at a kids game. There's questions, thoughts, comments, probably some criticisms and some compliments. Similar professions in that regard, but you have to get up every Sunday generally and try to inspire thousands of people.
Yeah.
How do you do it? Who inspires you and what leaders really have been formative in that? And maybe think of some, you know, some religious folks. I mean, I think we all expect your answer to be Jesus.
Sure.
but maybe some secular folks too that you look to as leaders that have kind of formed your style of leadership.
Yeah, well, you know, first off, you know, I do miss one thing I do miss from the pandemic is being able to wear a polo shirt with pajama pants, you know, behind the camera. So, you know, I do miss that. But yeah, it is my job. I kind of see it this way that I get a chance to remind people that there is hope in the world. When we feel like hopelessness is all around, I get a chance to remind them that there's hope. There's been a number of leaders that have really inspired me. I think, you know, locally, we've got so many great leaders that we look at around the community that have been so inspiring to me. I think about some of the great mayors in the city that I grew up in. I grew up in Detroit. You know, I think about like guys like Dennis Archer, who was like this great not only political leader, but attorney and just a rock solid character guy that really meant a lot to me. You know, I think about someone who has inspired my life, like Martin Luther King Jr. He's been just not only a spiritual leader, but a great uniter. And my hope is that, you know, in our church, that we would be a home for everyone, that people from all around would come and say, man, you know, I'd love to worship there. You know, sports has also been, you know, I talk about my love for sports. You know, who can, you know, forget leaders like Chuck Daly and Sparky Anderson, who inspired us, Scotty Bowman, who inspired us because of their commitment to molding individuals into a team. And so for me, I look at all of these fields of business and faith and sports and say, man, what can we learn from these great leaders? Probably my most, you know, passionate leader that I love is Billy Graham, someone who invested his life into sharing the good news of Jesus. And so, yeah, all around us are great examples. And I get to live with one too, my wife. She's such a great servant, such a great mom. And, you know, I'm married up and I'm married well. And so big shout out to Yodi, who's my partner in crime, if you will.
No doubt. And a great leader in the church as well. I have to tell you, I've had multiple experiences. When I just became mayor, Dennis Archer was the mayor in Detroit. And I'll never forget some of the very intense conversations I had with him about what was important and what wasn't. And it wasn't necessarily the things that I was thinking about. For him, it was about family. And I remember him putting his finger in my chest and telling me that the people standing behind me were what was most important and not a title or anything else. And it sticks with me to this day. I agree with you about his leadership. I know you left off Magic Johnson, Tom Izzo, Reeves. No Spartans on your list of inspirational leaders.
Let me say this. I love Tom Izzo as a coach. I would never want him as a pastor. I would never want Tom Izzo as a pastor, but he makes a great, phenomenal basketball coach.
Yeah, I imagine he's not having a great day today either. So
it'll get better.
Great ideas. Great. I think it's important, as you mentioned, to have leaders from across. I have folks politically that I look up to, folks spiritually that I look up to, folks in business that I look up to, folks in education that I look up to. And everybody has a different perspective. I think it's really great that you mentioned such a wide, you know, variety of leaders. You know, Pastor Chris, one of the things in my job that we're realizing, so much has changed throughout the pandemic. But one thing, even in a community that on the surface seems, you know, to be faring much better than others, is really the challenge of mental health in a community. Yes. And you know, what's happening behind closed doors, the challenges of students learning at home for a year with home environments being sometimes not great. You know, tell me about how you see the role of faith or the role of of a church in a community to deal specifically with mental health, because that's such a big thing that doesn't often get a lot of daylight discussion.
Yeah, you and I both think often about what are the greatest challenges on the horizon. And I would rank mental health up there as arguably the greatest challenge for the next generation. Gen Z in particular, millennials. I'm raising a teenage daughter now, so pray for me if you haven't done it before. I'm living those teenage years, but I'm watching the pressure that her and her friends are under, the anxiety, the depression. You know, I host a radio show as well. And last month, our total focus was on helping parents who have teens who are facing anxiety and depression. And we got over 5,000 calls in 30 days from families saying, we need help with this. And we certainly believe that faith plays a big, big role in two ways. Number one, we need to know that there's something bigger than the moment. You know, suicide is a real challenge, but suicide is often a short-term answer to long-term realities. And we don't want to look only in the short term. We want to know that there's something bigger. And Jesus tells us that there is something bigger, that God is bigger than our problems. And but the second thing is community. You know, our houses of worship throughout Rochester Hills provide something bigger than ourselves, and that is community, spiritual family, a place for us to find connection. Isolation is really difficult, and we've just had a year of isolation. And around here, we're telling people to, you know, safely come back home again and to connect again with others, because none of us do our best on our own. And so hopefully our faith can be a place that points people to hope and connects people to family.
Sure. You know, it's a great answer. There's lots of places that you can go for support. A lot of times the challenge is getting over the stigma of admitting that you have a need and that there's, you know, someone that can actually help. That's really good. And I'm sure that Woodside probably has resources devoted to that. Am I correct?
Yeah. You know, we went through a trauma, you know, we lost our oldest son a couple of years ago. And so my wife and I immediately got into grief counseling. We wouldn't be here today, I don't think, if it wasn't for our counselor. So don't let there be any stigma. If the numbers are right, then it's more of us that are dealing with anxiety and other emotional challenges than that aren't. And so don't feel any shame about that. As a matter of fact, wise people seek out help. And so at Woodside, at every one of our campuses, we have counseling programs. We love to support you with that. And we have programs for children and youth. And I'm so proud of the programs we have for our teens to be able to experience friendship, community, and support. So if your family needs that, we love to support you and serve you in that way.
Sure. You know, you mentioned, Pastor Chris, some of the different campus locations that you have. And it strikes me that, you know, with some of those, you envision an idea of the people that would probably attend a congregation like that. It might be different in Algonac or Detroit or Dearborn.
Yes.
And the core of that is looking at diversity, equity, and inclusion in a community. I've started an organization here, an internal team that's looking at it, and I've gathered leaders of faith and education and business to talk about it externally in our region as well. When you think about diversity, equity, and inclusion as it relates to a congregation, what are the things that strike you? What is the, you know, what is the passion of your heart? What would it look like if you were doing it really, really well? And maybe what is one thing that we can do as a community to embrace it more, from your opinion?
Yeah, I think about it as, again, every house of worship should reflect our community. We have been blessed here in Rochester Hills to have a diverse community, and we want to make sure there are no barriers to welcome, that everyone feels welcome. And I kind of think of it this way. I think of it as my own home and family. We're an adopted family. So my daughter's from Ethiopia. My son is adopted from right here in Michigan, and he's a biracial, has biracial background. Obviously, we have our biological children. And not only do we have diversity ethnically in our family, but we also have a diversity in age. My mother-in-law lives with us. There's three generations there. And so when we get to dinner, everybody's at the table bringing their own perspective. And that's what I think about when I hear your heart for this, that it really is about making sure people know that they have a seat at the table, that they're not just going to be tolerated, but they're going to be celebrated. And that's what we're trying to build as a culture at Woodside. It was here when I came, and I just want to continue that. And I know that that's your heart as well, to make sure people know they have a seat at the table. They're not just going to be tolerated. They're going to be celebrated. And in every one of our campuses, you know, our campuses raise a range in size as well. We have campuses that have 100 folks gathering, campuses that have hundreds of folks gathering. Wherever you find us, though, we want you to know you're welcome and that you're home when you come to Woodside. So that's what I think about when I think about the unity we can have out of diversity.
Sure. You've been a good friend, Pastor Chris. And I was just thinking what I could do to you for you. Perhaps one thing is pass an ordinance that allows only 7 people to live under one house, which would therefore get rid of your mother-in-law, if I'm not mistaken. If you want to follow up on that after, just text me and let me know. Maybe for those that don't know, you know, are there organizations in Southeast Michigan where pastors, priests, rabbis, imams get together and talk about the spiritual health of a region, or how they can work together? Does that sort of network exist?
Yeah, you know, it was about 2011 where some of us came together and we formed an umbrella called Each, Everyone a Chance to Hear about the good news that we have. And, you know, through it, 550 clergy came together and said, hey, we'd like to meet, we'd like to encourage one another. And so we, twice a month, we, through virtual gatherings now, will gather together. And we're talking about the same things you are, about mental health, about how we care for our community's needs, about how do we spur on family and encourage the next generation. So we're constantly thinking about the issues about how to make our communities better. And so that's eachtoday.com. People can find out more there. And if they want to connect with us here at Woodside, I'd love to connect with the leaders in our community. Woodsidebible.org is where they can find us here at Woodside.
Sure. You know, there's a lot of statistics. There's, you know, I'm always somewhat leery of statistics because you can find them to just about say any side of any kind of story. But generally, there are statistics that show that in America, less and less people are going to church, associated with religion. And that seems to be a trend that's held now for a few decades. What do you think is the future of the church and you know, in large measure as it relates to communities? What does the church need to do to retain its relevance as we move forward, you know, into the decades to come?
Yeah, I think so often those statistics are a little bit misleading in that they often are looking at how many people are physically attending. What we do know is this, is that church is becoming more driven by technology than ever before, than any generation before. I would argue more people are connecting with churches, but just in different ways. And more people are asking their spiritual questions, Googling things like, who is Jesus? What waits for me in the afterlife? How do I experience hope and even forgiveness or grace? And so I think that people will continue to do that. Our questions, our existential questions, aren't going away. The big questions of why am I here? How did I get here? What happens to me after I die? Those are questions that people will continue to ask. That's why for us, we take it just as important to have high touch as we do high tech. We want to make sure that we are able to connect with you online in a digital space through social media, as well as in person. And so we offer community both ways. And I think that's going to be essential as we look to the future.
Sure. Pastor Chris Brooks from Woodside Bible. You've lived in the city for a couple of years, I think, not too long.
Yeah, 3 years almost.
Three. All right. Well, you could have picked anywhere. You settled here. We're really glad that you did. You literally are right down the street here from us at City Hall. What do you love about this community? What do you have a favorite place to walk, a favorite restaurant, a favorite thing to do with your family? What do the Brookses do in Rochester Hills that makes you love this community so much?
Man, we love zip lining. We love the Village. My daughter almost lives there, and I got the receipts to prove it. we love Mitchell's seafood restaurant, the pizza, Cruising Muir. You know, we love a city that we can right around the corner just enjoy, from the restaurants to just having fun. Title boxing is where I exercise with my boys, teaching them how to be men. And I think that we wanted a place where right there in our cul-de-sac, we had neighbors that we could do life with. And out of everything that we love, the number one thing we love about living in Rochester Hills is our neighbors, doing life together, raising our kids together. That's what makes living here a great joy.
Yeah. It's a great answer. And it's really an intangible, it doesn't show up on any sales sheet. You know, it'll show you how far you are from the expressway or the rating of your school district or whatnot, but it doesn't tell you the kind of people that you're going to live next to and spend a lot of your life with. And I would tell you the same thing. We've got some great neighbors where I live that, we've celebrated, birthdays and anniversaries and new puppies and new jobs and all sorts of interesting life moments that just become a part of, your story, right?
Yeah. Can I tell you what I hate? I'm going to tell you number one thing I hate: those stairs as I exercise at Bloomers Park. You know, I do those stairs to try to burn off some of those pizzas that I get from Cruising Muir. And I will tell you, I hate every one of those stairs.
Well, you want me to tell you an inside mayoral secret about those stairs, Pastor?
What's
Chris?
That?
Only go down.
Only go down. Oh man, I wish I would have figured that out a long time ago. But no.
I don't really have a follow up. I don't know what you do at the bottom, but only go down. It'll be a lot easier on your legs, your back, all of it.
Oh, hey, man.
Pastor Chris, maybe one last question to think about this, and I'll ask it slowly, and I'll allow you to think of a good answer. But if you had one lunch to have with one person,
wow,
alive or deceased, who would it be, and where would you eat?
Wow, that is such a tough question. You know, I mentioned him earlier. You know, I'm a big fan of Dr. King. I think he's our most tweetable leader that America has ever produced, but he's also a great moral leader and thought leader. So I would say probably for me, it'd be MLK Jr. And man, where would I go? I might just take him to Buddy's Pizza, just because that's one of my own vices. I love Buddy's Pizza. And we would sit down and talk about what it means to be a leader who unites people from across the spectrum. He just was a great uniter and mobilizer, as we know, and he had a big vision. And you know what I love about him more than anything else is he never lost hope. Never lost hope. And, you know, if ever there was a guy who could have lost hope, gave up and said, man, people are almost irredeemable, unfixable, it would have been him. But he kept a big hope, and he inspired hope in others. And I want to be that type of leader.
Yeah. Pastor Chris Brooks from Woodside Bible Church, thank you so much for joining us today, giving us a little peek into your leadership and your life and your passions and your family. I know you to be just an awesome individual, someone full of integrity that lives out their life daily with every person that you touch. So thank you for being my guest here today. We appreciate you. Thank you for the impact you and your church are making on our region and on our community and in my life personally. I want to make sure I thank you for that as well. And thank you for joining us today as we celebrate another fantastic individual living right down the street. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll see you soon. God bless.